是房产。People respect them because they stay out of politics. They don't take sides and they are neutral, and Ahle Batil, that is the people of falsehood, like other people who stay neutral. Even though Allah has condemned such people in the Quran. So to us, we know that these people are condemned. But when we look at the people who are wrong, and the kuffar or the munafiqeen or those people who want to create mischief, you see that those people respect people who stay out of politics. And the reason here also, what are the wisdom that they do that, that they respect such people, should also be known. And with that we can understand why such people are respected. You see, for the people who are believers, politics is a term that means establishing the rule of Allah and justice on the earth. So for a believer, the one who's involved in politics is virtuous and respected because he is working and he is contributing to the establishment of justice. But the people who are false, and the people who are worldly, or the people who are mischievous, to them, politics means any work that is done to get rule and authority over the people and dominion over the people, or to get means of excessive income through having authority over the people. So, to the people of the world, politics means money and power. So when they look at people involved in politics, they think that they're in it for the money and power. And to them, those people who remain neutral are good people and respectable because they are not running after power or money. Because these people are not running after power or money, they feel that those who are not involved in politics are good people because they are respectable. And the reason is because they don't run after money or power. Because to them, that's what politics means. And someone who stays out of it obviously should be respected because he's not running after worldly things. And hence, people who stay out and do not get involved in politics in the eyes of the world are good, because what they want to achieve is evil. What the dunya and the world wants to achieve through politics is evil. What Islam wants to achieve through politics is justice. So the objective of what you're doing is going to create the image of those who are involved in it. Those people who see it as a means of evil, they see those involved in politics as evil. That's why they don't respect their leaders, because of the fact that their leaders, they know, are the best crooks that they have. You really have to be a crook to get that far. And when we, as Muslims, look at that, we look at it not as evil, but those who want to establish justice and administrate justice to the people. Allah sent the prophets for this. لَيَقُومَ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ. The prophets and the messengers came so that they may establish justice amongst the people. So the whole idea of Islam is that it wants to establish justice. Those who are involved in politics, it respects it. Those who stay away from it are those who avoid justice. And this is the reason why this difference of view exists amongst the people. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So it's two different angles that everyone is looking at it from. So when Allah condemns the people who do not take part, and they are known in Allah's words as qa'idin, or those who sit down. And Allah says about them that they are condemned because they are kuffar, that they disbelieve in Allah and reject Allah. That's how Allah is saying that those who stay away from taking any sides are worse than those who took the side of truth and create nuisance for it. They're much better. I mean, at least those people who came to Imam Ali with a bad attitude were much better than those people who didn't come to him at all. This is something that we need to keep in mind, that no matter what happens, we if we are Muslims, then we have already taken a side. And we need to stand by that side. And we need to stand always by the side of truth. The example I gave yesterday was about Abu Musa Ashiri. One more example I will give, so that we have another example of these type of people that exist there. And here also Imam Ali, in this hadith, which is in Nahj al-Balagha, gives or describes some of the qualities of these people. And this is, you know, this ring of people, it's a very influential group of people. Because they're respected, they influence a lot of people to join them and to keep away from fitna, to keep away from wrong or mischief. So it's their invitation is very sweet, and it looks very flowery, and people are attracted by it. And here we see that in that time, you see there were some very influential people who were in this group. Amongst them was Abdullah ibn Umar, who was the son of Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar. He was known to be a very holy man who prayed so much and who did dhikr so much that he was known for being a person who was very ascetic. Right? He was very, for example, into just worship of Allah. Another person was Sa'd ibn Malik, who's also known as Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who's the father of Umar ibn Sa'd, who killed Imam Hussein. He also was known as a very holy person and very much respected in the eyes of people. His view, his opinion was respected in the eyes of people. So, the hadith, this is a saying of Imam Ali in the last session of Nahj al-Balagha. You know, as you know, Nahj al-Balagha has sermons, then letters, and then sayings. The last session of Nahj al-Balagha, this is saying number 272. Here, we see that this one person comes to Imam Ali by the name of Harith ibn Hawth. Harith ibn Hawth, he comes to Imam Ali and asks him a question. He says, do you really think that I regard the people of Jamal as being wrong? I mean, do you think, and what he's trying to say is that, do you think that I regard the people who are with Aisha as wrong? I mean, is that what you think? He's asking Imam Ali. You know? And this is a rhetorical question. In other words, he's saying, I don't regard them wrong. I regard them right. And I regard them as being on the truth. I don't regard them as being on falsehood. And I don't regard you also as being on falsehood. In other words, when you are right, they are right. We all are right, even though they kill your man, you kill their man, but we are all good. So in other words, you are truth and they are truth. Obviously, you know, I mean, this is an attitude that these people have. Like, you know, you see the wrong going on, you see the two sides that are taken, and you see the sides are opposing each other.
And here we see that Imam Ali had made it reasonable, and he had explained this to us in this way. He said that if you see two sides opposing another, either both of them are wrong, or one of them is right, but both of them cannot be right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you see two sides opposing one another, I mean, two wrongs can oppose one another, but two truths cannot oppose one another. So if there are two sides opposing one another, one of them has to be the truth, the other has to be the falsehood. This attitude of these people goes against all logic and says that, you know what, both of you are right even though you are killing one another. So this is what he told Imam Ali. Now Imam Ali replies back to him and says, Harith, you see what's in front of you. You cannot see beyond yourself.
Ali.
You see, in other words, this is the level of your thinking. Your thinking is that you just look at things and you just see what's in under your nose, right there. If something is put on you, if something is put on you, right there, you see that. But if you see, but if it's not there, if it's not spoon fed to you, then you won't know what it is.
Wow.
In other words, these people are so simple-minded. These people are so naive. These people are so ignorant that all they see is just what is in front of them and what is their interest. They do not see beyond themselves. They do not see that which is not in their interest. They just look at that. You know? If something happens, right, you see, how is this benefiting me? How is this going to benefit me? If it does benefit me, I take part in it. If it does not benefit me, then you know what? I couldn't care less. Right? This is the attitude you see of those people who are sleepers. Those who are asleep. This is the attitude of those people. They are like that. And now what happened? Imam Ali says that you are a person who cannot see beyond yourself. That's all you can see. He describes him, and then after he says that, he says, because you see only what's there and not what's beyond, so here he says that this is the reason you are confused. Such people are confused, perplexed, baffled. You know, these people are easily baffled. They don't know what's going on because they can't see beyond themselves. And hence, to them, they can never decide which side is right, which side is wrong. These people are always confused, and hence they never take a side. So one of the reasons that Imam Ali is saying that the reason you don't take a side is because you're confused, you cannot see beyond yourself. You look at your own interest. If it's according to your interest, you'll do it. If it goes against your interest, you will not do it. If this is the case, then you know what? If that is the attitude a person has, he can never side with the truth. He can never side with the truth if you are looking at your interest. And that too, you see, your interest where? That is right now, right here. obviously, when you side with the truth, it's completely in your favor. It's completely in your interest, but not now. Not here. That interest will be known when you go before Allah. It won't be known here. So these people, in actuality, they are just looking at their interest in dunya, not in the akhirah. These people are just looking at their interest here. Am I going to face loss here? If I face loss here, I don't want to go along. If I'm going to be burdened here, I don't want to go along. This is the attitude people have. And you see, with this attitude, you can never side with the truth. Because when the truth invites you to come, when the truth asks you to come, you see what happens? The first thing the truth will ask you to do is sacrifice. It'll ask you to sacrifice. If you cannot sacrifice, you cannot be with it. And if you are with it, you can't be with it for long. You see, just imagine. When Imam Hussein invited people to come and join him, there were those who were with him. And the minute they saw the armies walking in, they started to leave. The minute they saw that there's a problem here, and there's going to be a problem, they started to leave. I mean, when Imam Hussein came to Karbala, it said he came with thousands of people. There were many people he came with. But when he came there, as the army started coming in, and they started to see that they will have to sacrifice and face loss, then you see those people started to get away. And they started to move away. And those people who did stay behind, they lost a lot. Imagine, how much did they lose? I mean, one, their lives were taken. Their homes were destroyed. Even if their children did survive, they were orphans. And because they were with Hussein and they died with Hussein, their children also were outlaws by the law. So they left behind a house that is broken. They left behind a house that is scattered. Imagine the laws that they faced. They had, and they were all well-to-do. They were settled down. They had everything. They lost all that. Now imagine if one of them would complain to Imam Hussein and said, you know, we trusted you. We trusted you. Right? We trusted you. But look at what you did. Look at what you did. Look at what you brought us to. Imagine, if that is the attitude one has with the truth, he can never side with the truth. Wow. If he looks at his own loss, he can never side with the truth. If you look at what he has to sacrifice, he can never side with the truth. And this is the reason that if one wants to side with the truth, Imam Ali says, look beyond yourself and look at the greater goal Allah has set for you. Look at that goal, then you know that you will be with the truth. Then you will know that you can be with the truth. If you're looking at these yourself and all is your interest, you can never stand with the truth. There will come a time when you will separate. Because your interest will conflict with the interest of Allah. When that conflict will take place, when that clash will take place, then you see that you are going to be separated from the Imam.
SubhanAllah.
That's how you are going to get away. And this is the reason Imam Ali is saying, this is the reason you cannot be with the truth, because you can't look at yourself and beyond yourself. Then he says, and this is the reason you are confused. Right? And now he gives another principle. Understand this principle. He says, listen, you have not, you have known the truth. So you recognize the people on the truth. You know? You know the truth, so you recognize the people on the truth. But you don't know the falsehood, so you cannot recognize the people on the falsehood. You knew the prophet. You knew the truth. So you recognize those who are on the truth. But you don't know what the falsehood is. That's why you don't know who's on the falsehood. So you're saying Ali is right and others are right, Zubair is right and all these people are right. You're saying this because you don't know what batil is, you don't know what falsehood is, and hence you don't know who Ali batil and the people of falsehood are. You have no knowledge, no awareness of that. If you were aware of that, then you would know the difference. You would know the difference. In other words, if a person knows the truth, he will know the people who are on the truth. If he does not know the truth, he won't know if a person is on the truth or not. But with this person, that wasn't the case. He knew the truth. He saw the prophet. He knew what the truth is. And hence he knew who stands on the truth. But he did not have an awareness of falsehood. He did not have an awareness of batil. He did not have an awareness of shaitan. And hence because of that, he did not know who are the people who are following shaitan's path. So to him, everyone looks good because they pray. To him, everyone looks good because they have a beard and wear hijab. See? To him, everyone looks right just because of the fact that they fast and go for Hajj. All of them look like Muslims. And that's what Imam Ali is saying. This is the signs of those on the truth. But those on the falsehood also adopt these signs. They also adopt these signs. And when they adopt these signs, how would you know the difference? How would you know who's where and who's not? See, this is that problem which your type of people have. Imam Ali is saying your type of people have this problem. They don't know who the people of falsehood are because they don't recognize falsehood. They don't know what it is. And that's the reason you can be deceived by those people who are on the falsehood. And you see, that's what happens. So now what happened is that when Imam Ali, he said this, then Haris said, right? He said, well, in that case, if you say that, he said, I will withdraw myself, I will go to the side and sit down. Okay. I will go to the side and sit down with Had ibn Malik and Abdullah ibn Umar. So these three already had a meeting. And they sent this guy to go and talk to Ali. He came, he talked to Ali and said, alright, if that's what you say, we're going to go and sit down. Right? Obviously, on one level, this is childish. You know, here Imam Ali is trying to advise him. Imam Ali is trying to say that, listen, this is your weakness. Right, he's trying to expose the weakness for them, reveal it for them, so that at least they can understand the wrong that they're doing. Right, this guy is saying, well, if you say that about us, I'm going to go and I'm not going to help you. What you going to do now? I mean, you know, this is like what children would do, right? But this is the intelligence level of those people who are like this. Their intelligence level is very low. They are like kids. And here you see Imam Ali is an advisor there saying, well, if that's the case, we are not going to help you. Obviously, you know. And he, not only himself, he doesn't say, I'm not going to help you. Me and Abdullah ibn Umar and Adi ibn Malik, all three of us are not going to help you. He said that, right? I mean, obviously, you know, to us when we look at it, you know, it is humorous, right? The reaction of these people is childish. But the issue is, you know, childish behavior, right? Unintelligent behavior like this, as an adult, and as a person who is respected by others, is more harmful to the truth than those people who want to harm the truth.
That's right.
Those people who want to harm the truth, those people who fight the truth, they are not as harmful as the people who are pretending to be with the truth and act foolishly and unintelligently. This is the situation with these people. These people, they act like this, and then you look at them and say, what is wrong with you all? And here Imam Ali, obviously, he hears the name of Abdullah ibn Umar and Saad ibn Malik. And obviously he thought that if he brings up their name, that Ali might change his stand and probably give them some incentives or something like that. You know, might change, you know, that, okay, three big people in the Muslim Ummah, three big sharks in the Muslim Ummah are not helping him. Imagine how much support Imam Ali could gather by having these three on his side. How many people were there that if they say to their tribes and they say to their friends, and how many people listen to them because they're companions of the Prophet? How many of these people can come to them? You know? So now what happened is that he threatens them by these people leaving. And now, when Imam Ali heard that about this Saad and Umar, right, Abdullah ibn Umar, he just said one sentence when he heard the truth, right? And these people are respected in the eyes of people, right? He's saying that, listen, before you go, just listen. Saad and Abdullah ibn Umar had never accepted the truth, and had never rejected the falsehood. They had never been on the side of the truth, and they have never rejected the falsehood. So those of you who want to sit down, this is your situation. You don't side with the truth, nor do you forsake the falsehood. In other words, you agree with the falsehood and you are ready to oppose the truth also. This is what happens to people like you. And these people who are respected in the eyes of Muslims fall under the same category. All of them, they fall in the same category. Imam Ali said, so you are threatening to leave me? Go ahead. You were never with the truth. Now obviously when you look at it, my brothers, understand this. Saad ibn Waqqas, these people are not just normal people, you know, walking around. These people are respected in the Muslim Ummah. In fact, you know, there's hadiths that the Muslims have about them that these are, for example, Saad is one of the 10 people who has been promised heaven. One of those 10 people who have been promised heaven. They look up to him in such a esteemed fashion. Right? And you see these people are esteemed and respected and honored. So now, when they are so much honored, Imam Ali is saying that you were never with the truth. So now the question comes, when they were with the Prophet, and they stood by the Prophet, and they fought in the army of the Prophet. Imam Ali is saying that you were never with the truth. You were never with the truth. You were never on the side of Haq. In other words, there are two options, there are only two ways of looking at it. Either the side they were on was the truth. Either the side they were on was not the truth. Or if it was the truth, they were not on the side at all. So we know that the side of the Prophet was the truth. The Prophet was on the truth and his side was the truth. These people who stood with him, they never stood with him at all. And their not being on the side of truth was exposed in the time of Imam Ali. Either that, or you can say that Imam Ali is not speaking the truth. You see, this is my brothers, how Imam Ali has made it such. He had made it such and he had made it clear that these people never sided with the truth. The only reason they stood by the Prophet is because they only saw profit, not loss. In the time of the Prophet, you see, the wars that were happening, most of the wars, the Muslims, their army was stronger. And when the army was not as strong as the opposition, then Ali was taking care of the rest.
SubhanAllah. Ya Ali.
Right? And then stood behind there just watching as a spectator. Right? I mean, they were ready. You know that if for example, they see the Muslims lose, if they see Ali fall down, then right away they're ready to switch sides. Right away. They're ready to switch sides right away. But when they see Ali wins, alhamdulillah, we're saved. They had a sigh of relief, you know, whenever Ali won in the battle that no one wanted to fight. How many times did they go through that until the Muslim army became strong? And when the Muslim army became strong, so now they're saying, alhamdulillah, now we can just walk over these people. Anyone can be in that army. Anyone can be, because there's the chances of a loss are very less. But you see, the respect is for those people who stood by the Prophet when everyone was running away. See, when everyone was running away, that's when you see those people who stood by the Prophet, really stood by the Prophet. Now all these people were running, and you see those people who did stand, Imam Ali respected those people. That's why even when a person who stood with Ali and Uhud defending the Prophet, when he came out to fight against Imam Ali in the Battle of Jamal, Imam Ali was sad to see him on the other side.
Ya Ali.
And he reminded Zubair of the times that they had siding with the truth. When Zubair heard that, then he had remorse and he was walking away. He was walking away from the side of that army. When that army themselves, when they saw him walking away, went and killed him. Because they didn't want the people to know that he is going away. Imagine that. Imam Ali knew that those people who stood at that time, they have to have something inside of them.
Yeah. Ya Ali.
See? And those people who are running away, what can you expect of them? They will always run away. They will always run away. This is, my brothers, how you know who sides with the truth. That character comes when you see the hard times, they come and you see that person side with the truth, not looking at his own Prophet or Allah's, but looking at the Prophet of Allah's cause. What is the advantage to Allah's cause by me being there? If I stand there, what is that? What is the advantage to Allah's cause? If Allah's cause is being held, then you know what? I don't look at my loss because I do not have a loss in reality.
Subhanallah.
There is no loss in reality. What are you going to lose? Your time? I mean, imagine, how much time are you going to lose? How much time do you have here? Most of the time we waste it anyway on useless things. And our whole life is going to go by us, and when we are old, we are going to look at our lives and say, what happened? This is what happened at the time of death. Our whole life goes in front of our eyes within seconds, moments. We see, what did I do here? Was that it? That's my life? And you see, we will waste all our lives here, which is nothing. And Allah is saying that you are earning a life that is forever. You can start now trying to just imagine what forever means.
Oh, Ya Allah.
Try to imagine what forever means. And we sacrifice that life for a few moments of enjoyment here that are not going to last anyway. What is Allah trying to say to you? There is no loss when you work for Allah. There is no concept of loss. It's only Shaitan who makes us think this hard-earned money of yours is going to go down the road. You know, you made yourself so good-looking all these years. And you see, a lot of people, they, you see this, and obviously, you know, we are people who come here and pray and all these things over here, right? So we don't see that many people of those types here. But you will see them somewhere, you know, go there. Some people don't like to go into sajda because it wrinkles their pants.
What?
It wrinkles their pants, you know? Meaning their pants will be ruined. And so they will pray on a chair, but they will not go down. You know? Because, you know, I mean, it's too much for them to do that. I'm telling you, people, one of the excuses that they have among in their own minds of not going to Hajj is because they will have to shave their heads. You know? I mean, Shaitan makes us think of such little things as big losses that are irreparable, and we will be destroyed if we do that. And we fall into that trap, and you know what? We end up doing what? We end up not doing what Allah wants and sacrificing a life that is forever. Allah is saying, you work for me, there is no loss in it. If I ask you to do something, you are on my side, never think that there is a loss. Allah, He says that in the Quran, that Allah does not waste the reward of those who do good. He does not waste it. Do not even worry about that. See, when you are going to come, you will see what Allah has said, Allah has in store for you. You know, what Allah has in store for you. And many times, you know, Allah, you know, He hypes up heaven in the Quran, you know. You see how He hypes it up, all kinds of enticing things and exciting things. You see, many times, hype, when you hype up something, the thing does not live up to the hype. You know, in this world, you know, you want to hype up a, I don't know, some
event,
party, concert. You see, the hype is there, but in reality, the event doesn't live up to the hype. Mm-hmm. I mean, the greatest event of all time. It's not. You know, it's not. You know, and all these things, you see the hype, the advertising coming, and all these things, like promotions coming. It doesn't live up to the hype. Right? But you know, this is the only event. Right? And this is the only place that Imam Ali had said, And he has said, Nehru, the only place that heaven is the only place where the amount of hype Allah has made for it, he said, the expectations you have for it, it will exceed that hype in such a way that you cannot even imagine it. This is that pleasure, you know, of heaven. You know, what is that pleasure? I mean, really, you know, there's a hadith of the Prophet, and I'll mention that tonight so you can take this to bed. Right? Hadith of the Prophet that he said, you know, the pleasure of heaven is so great that when you worship Allah, the reward you will get for 1 hour of worship. For 1 hour of worship, the reward you will get, because reward comes with pleasure. So the pleasure of that reward of 1 hour of your worship, 1 hour of your worship, the pleasure of that reward will be so much and so intense that if you spread it amongst the inmates of hell, they would not know they are in hell.
SubhanAllah.
Just that 1 hour is enough for all the inmates of hell, they will not remember they are in hell. It will be so pleasurable. You know, I mean, this is heaven. Right? And we waste our 60 years of life here, and most of it is either, I mean most of it is in diapers. You know, when you're young, you're in diapers, when you're old, you're in diapers. Starts off in heaven, you waste a life like this. For that life Allah has in store for us, no, this is an unintelligent thing that we do. No, Allah has said that you take side with Allah, there is no loss for you. There is no loss for you. And hell also, my brothers, remember this in the same hadith of the Prophet. Remember this hadith. Hell also, I want you to understand. He said in the same hadith, that when you disobey Allah for 1 hour, the punishment in hell will be such that if that 1 hour of punishment will be distributed in the inmates of heaven, they will not know they're in heaven. You know, this is that punishment in heaven, in hell, and the pleasure that is in heaven. Allah has that for us, and inshallah we should try to take advantage of what we could here, and inshallah make ourselves such that we can side with Allah.
Inshallah.
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Amen. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of Imam, because His helpful when He comes. Amen. الحمد لله رب العالمين.